This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. I don't like to hear cut and dried sermons. No, when I hear a man preach, I like to see him act as if he were fighting bees. If Lincoln could have been in Philadelphia in the 1730s, as was Benjamin Franklin, he could have heard such a dramatic preacher. Benjamin Franklin did, joining a crowd of some 20,000 people in the outdoors to hear the famed former Shakespearean actor George Whitefield preach a sermon and fan the flames of the first Great Awakening, a religious and spiritual revival in America. It was the birth of the Methodist Church. It was the seedbed for the founding of Princeton and Dartmouth colleges, and then eventually the College of Illinois out in Lincoln's own state by some missionary students from Williams College. It is said that Whitefield's voice could be heard by all of the 20,000 people in his Philadelphia crowd. It was also said that when he would enunciate the biblical site Mesopotamia, the beauty of his voice would make a grown man cry. Men and women did cry a lot in their torments of salvation in the Great Awakening and in the similar movements that followed and have left its stamp on the mind and hearts of Americans, religious or not, ever since. Our devotion to emotion, to purity, our anti-authoritarian spirit, our belief that religion must be authentic and a matter of the heart, not just of the head, all this is rooted in these movements. Here's how George Whitefield is described in history. Beginning the second phase of the Great Awakening, preaching in Philadelphia in 1739 and touring New England in 1740, in 73 days he rode 800 miles and preached 130 sermons. He made violent gestures, danced about the pulpit, roared and ranted, greatly to the delight of the common people who were tired of gentlemanly, unemotional sermons from college-bred ministers. Historians argue that the very revolutionary spirit of the colonial America was heated up in the cauldron of this religious revival. It continued after Whitefield. From 1795 to 1830, a man named Christian Newcomer rode his horse through 8 states and 150,000 miles, preaching hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons, and founding a church denomination called the Brethren. Not everyone could have a great-great-great-great-grandfather like Christian Newcomer, son of Wolfgang Newcomer of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, right? The Great Awakening was the first important and spontaneous movement of the entire English colonial population, so say historians. But it was also a unifying experience with the German and the Dutch and even some Indian populations as well. And in the spiritual life of Lincoln, it is important to realize what it is about Lincoln that would have attracted him to dramatic preaching as well as rejecting emotional religion on his way. Lincoln loved drama. Lincoln loved Shakespeare. Lincoln loved opera. George Whitefield, a dramatic preacher, had been, first back in England, a Shakespearean actor. Lincoln read Shakespeare plays to himself and aloud to his friends as a regular custom. He attended Shakespeare's plays in Washington and invited famous Shakespearean actors to his executive mansion, including the father of his future assassin and the assassin himself, who refused to come. Lincoln said once that he was happy to read the plays as to see them because, and he tapped his head with his bony fingers, he relished the inner theater of his mind. His brain was his stage. Drama and politics are different stages of culture and only rarely come together. For example, the great American event, the Boston Tea Party, was a dramatic success and a political event that had consequences up and down the eastern coast of the colonies. It was a breathtaking moment, imitated in other colonies and motivating tea boycotts as well as a revolutionary spirit. But as good as it was politically, it was not great theater. And dressing up as Indians was an ambiguous idea at best. But as political drama, it was revolutionary and world-changing. Samuel Adams was the mastermind dramatist of the Boston Tea Party, but he was a boisterous and difficult political committee member. When Lincoln gave powerful, even dramatic, political speeches, he did not look like he was fighting bees. Rather more, the American whisperer, trying to tame the wolves to keep them from attacking the sheep and the lambs. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, The Spiritual Life of Abraham Lincoln.